So just help yourselves, otherwise we end up putting them recording. God bless you. Just a reminder, this afternoon service 4:30. Then on Wednesday night we've got the midweek where we just gather and we just share a word and sing some worship and then have a time of prayer. Thursday lunch, free lunch here, community lunch. Always really, really delicious. Don't worry, I'm pulling up my calendar. And then Saturday morning we got revival prayer meeting, 7 o'clock, so feel free to join us for that. We've got a slight echo, but hey, that doesn't matter. So is it next week that we can pray all year? Or the week after? No, it's the week after. The week after will be Wickham. If I'm wrong, I'll put it up on the WhatsApp group and you'll be able to pick up on it there. That's fine. Yeah. I just also announced, I know I told some of you before the service, but it was my best kept secret. I don't know how I managed to contain it without telling anybody. We have to follow this, but yesterday it was an absolute joy just to have Samuel in the church where I conducted a very intimate marriage ceremony with them. It was just them, Janet and I, and the Holy Spirit. And that was their wish, that is what they wanted. They wanted it to be between them and God, and I think it was really, really very special and very beautiful. But there will be a coming together of the families, celebration and friends. Not quite sure when, I suppose it all depends on when he's managed to save enough bucks to be able to do that. So yes, they are now Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, and my goodness, I've never seen two people smile the way they were smiling yesterday afternoon. Probably I smiled a bit bigger than what he did when I married Janet, but just to let you know that has occurred. So that you don't. Why didn't you tell us? This morning I'm going to carry on with part two. Now part two was supposed to be last week, but then when I was at conference I bumped into Pastor Ezekiel, who's as you know, is a dear friend, and I invited him to come. Well, who did I say?
Ezekiel.
Oh, did I? I can see how this morning is going to go. Pastor Ebenezer, so I moved part two to this week. Hopefully you'll still remember a bit of part one. I want to just finish off on the miracle of the mat and the master. How Jesus had healed a man who had been lame for 38 years. In John 5, 8 and 9, Jesus said to get up, pick up your mat, and once the man, he picked up his mat, and he walked. Now this celebration, I mean, people should have been celebrating. I mean, he was a lame man, he'd been lame for 38 years, and he gets up, and he walks, and they should have been celebrating in that miracle. The miracle triggered. Why? Because Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. This passage teaches us something very powerful. That miracles are glorious. But they often expose religious resistance. This was the miracle that broke the rules. John 5 verse 10 says, it is the law forbids you to carry your mat. Imagine this, a man who had in 4 decades is now standing free. And religious leaders say to him, why are you your mat? Instead of healing, they started to release the method of the healing. Religion watches for rule breaking, but Jesus watches for restoration. The miracle offended their system because their expectations. But hear me this morning, that God is not subject to man-made systems. That God's power is not limited to man's protocol. That sometimes is more about order than the outcomes. But Jesus didn't come to rituals. He came to resurrection. Mark 2 verse 27, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In John 5 verse 10, they say the law forbids you to carry your mat. So I want to talk about that mat. Why did Jesus tell the man to carry it? Because what once the man back, he was now holding. The mat became a testimony. A sign that he didn't go back to what he used to be. A reminder that God is a deliverer, not just a healer. Jesus wanted the people to see the evidence. Jesus wanted to remind the people that he is the transformer of lives. That when God delivers you, he doesn't hide it, but he puts it on display. That we carry proof that we have been changed. Would you say that with me? I carry proof that I have been changed. And then comes the confrontation. When Jesus challenges religious power. In John 5, verse 16 to 18, it says, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. And in his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work, and I too am working. This wasn't just about the healing anymore, but it was about authority. By calling God his own Father, Jesus was declaring, I'm not filling it. I don't need your permission. I have the authority of heaven upon me and in me. That Jesus wasn't just defending a miracle, but he was declaring to the people his divine nature. And then John 5 verse 19, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. And that's not weakness, but that's a perfect unity. What the Father does, the Son does. The healing you just saw, heaven orchestrated that healing. That the authority that he was walking in, the authority that we are walking in, is backed by heaven. That Jesus is not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher, But he is the very Son of God. Equal in power and purpose. Can we declare that this morning? That Jesus isn't just my Savior, but he is my sovereign King. And then comes the revelation that the Son gives life. John 5:21 says, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Now the talk has turned to resurrection talk. Jesus says, I'm not just healing bodies, but I'm raising the dead. That I'm not just helping people walk, but I'm calling them to eternal life. That I don't just have authority over sickness, but I have authority over sin, over death, and judgment. And this is why the cross was coming. Because Jesus came to raise more than just legs, but he came to raise souls. That the Son gives life. And so many individuals from throughout the Bible until this present day have experienced the life-giving power of Jesus Christ in them. That each one of us are living proof. And I want to encourage you this morning, walk in what Jesus gave you. Let's go back to that healed man. He didn't get healed just to sit still. He didn't get up to go home and just hide. He got up to walk in new identity, to carry a testimony, and to point to the one who made him whole. And so do you. John 5:22, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Which means this, that Jesus has the final word. Not your failure. Not the law. Not your haters. But Jesus. That you are healed by his word. That you carry proof of his power. That you walk in divine authority. And that Jesus has the final say over everything. Because he is our authority. But in the same way, that same authority lives within us because Christ is in us. That we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. He said we will trample on scorpions and snakes and we will not be harmed. Hallelujah, what I was telling you. That when we walk, he will be there. That we're in deep waters, we will not drown. Oh, and he says, when we command someone to be healed, they will be healed. Amen. Because of his authority. So why do we walk around like people who are not empowered? That's the question that I have this morning, and I speak for myself as well. Why do we walk past that person sitting on the bus stop? When we carry healing and life and authority, because Jesus is within us. That's not what we're called to. You know, I get so excited about, you know, there are times where I don't listen to God, and you know, it can go on for months. And I know the Lord's telling me something, but The bottom line is I'm resisting, and if I have to really be real and honest this morning, it's because either I'm totally petrified, secondly, I just don't have the confidence, or thirdly, I just don't have the time. And I have to laugh because I knew that God wanted me to start using social media and start to preach the word, etc., etc. And I was bucking against it. Actual fact, it was Samuel who eventually gave me the little nudge. Not Samuel in the Bible, Samuel who comes to church. He gave me that little nudge and he said to me, come on, he says, you've got so much. You've got such a story to tell the world. And he says, so, you know, don't tell me that you are an evangelist, but you're not actually evangelizing. He says, because then you're not an evangelist. And he was quite rough on me and he was quite tough. And with trepidation, went and did the first live teaching on TikTok. I was absolutely petrified. It was absolutely awful, the abuse that was coming my way. And at the end of it, I closed the laptop and I said, that's it, I'm not doing that again. So this just wound me up. And then Samuel said to me, go again, try again. And I did. And this has now turned into an absolutely amazing chance where relationships have been built with people all around the world. Where 2 weeks ago, a guy from Brighton came on and he said, in the comments, I'm an atheist. I love it when people say that. I think in my head, well, actually, not for long. And he said, no, he likes my accent. And he says, my voice is so calm and he just loves listening to it. And I thought, oh, okay. And he stayed the whole hour and three quarters that I was preaching. And the next night he came back onto the live. And he was no longer an atheist. He said, I believe. And then this week, he's been on every single night that I've gone and I've preached. He stays from the beginning to the end. And it's a long haul. It can be up to 2 hours. And he was proclaiming Jesus, saying hallelujah in the comments, and then said, and this made me laugh, he said, I got saved on TikTok. And then he came up with the next comment, and this is my church.
And my wife thinks I'm crazy.
And that my wife thinks I'm mad, and I'm crazy, and I'm weird. But he said she was in pain, so I prayed for her, and the pain lifted. But you see, if I remained in that fear, if I'd gone on the track record of that first live that I did, none of this would have happened. That in the last 7 or 8 months of going live, we have seen people come to Christ in the comments. How do we give our lives to Jesus? That's what comes up in the comments. And those people are still walking. They're coming on every single night. And they're staying from beginning to end. I'm talking about 10 to 15 people. And then others are joining throughout it. How dare I do it? For every that you should all go on TikTok. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying tells you to do something. Then do it. If you want to know what you need to do, God is telling you what to do, would you read the book of Acts? It's all there. And maybe that's something you could do this week. Maybe you could begin and just put get a little notebook or get a to-do list from God. Everything in Acts that God is telling us to do, let's get that down onto our to-do list. So that every time you open the fridge, you are reminded what people walking around with their mats. Walking in the authority and the purpose and the destinies that Christ has made for them. Walking in new life. So can I ask you to stand up this morning? Honest and raw with God this morning and just open up your heart. Will you just put up your hands with me and just say, Lord, I surrender to you afresh this morning. Lord, I repent, Lord. Lord, of the times of lethargy and where I haven't acted when I've heard your voice telling me to. Lord, this morning I invite you, Lord, to fill me with zeal. Lord, that I would walk out in your authority from this place this morning. Lord, that your light and your glory would shine from me, Lord. Lord, we come before you and we just say, Lord, would you use us, Lord, as your tools, that we would be your hands, that we would be your feet. Thank you. Right here in this community.
Yes, Lord, use us. Thank
you. Lord, we cannot do it on our own, Lord, so would you empower us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that in our weaknesses you would make us strong. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. To address the it's in the way, you know, we think that we can't do it. I don't know what's going on. Released my new book, and it's the name of the book is You Matter, and this is what it's about. What if everything you've been chasing to feel worthy was already yours? How's that for a good start? You make a powerful reminder. Your value isn't found in what you do. It's rooted in who you are. Designed with divine intention, you weren't an accident or an afterthought. You were fearfully and wonderfully made by God, who sees you as already enough. In a world obsessed with comparison, achievement, and approval, it's easy to forget the truth of our worth. This book invites you to silence the lies of inadequacy and embrace your identity as God's beloved creation. Through heartfelt reflection and biblical insight, You Matter gently calls you back to the unshakable truth. You are seen, you are known, and you are cherished just as you are. If you're tired of measuring your worth by impossible standards, then this book will help you step into the freedom of knowing that you don't have to earn your value. Because you are. You matter, and you are seen, wonderful purpose for you and destiny. We step into that this morning, walk out of this church this morning with our head rejoicing. Not just rejoicing within ourselves, but when we see each other and when we're having coffee. When we're having coffee over there and we are talking and you're looking at someone who's sitting there, rejoice over them. Let's rejoice over each other because of what God has put into every single one of us individually. I believe there's great things for this church. That's why I'm... Yeah, almost a hard slog. I'm still, yeah, because one step at a time, I've seen God moving. Wasn't that this morning?